The love God showers on us replaces anything for us if we accept it. God takes away everything from us if we give ourselves entirely to Him, but He gives us something else far better. He deprives us of strength, wisdom, and everything that seems to make life worthwhile, but then He gives us His love. And this love burns within us like a supernatural fire. In the world of nature, all things have what they need. Every flower has its particular charm. Every animal has the right instincts. And indeed, all creatures have their own special fitness for their existence. And so it is in the world of grace. Each one of us has a special grace. And this is a reward for all of us who cheerfully accept the state in which God has placed us. A soul comes under the influence of God from the moment it turns toward Him, and this influence fluctuates according to the extent of the soul's abandonment. The whole business of self-abandonment is only the business of loving, and love achieves everything. Nothing can be denied it. How can our love possibly be rejected? How can the love of God refuse anything to a soul whose every act it controls? And how can a soul which lives for Him and Him alone refuse Him anything? What love desires, love cannot refuse, nor can it want anything that love rejects. God troubles us about nothing but our goodwill. He is quite unconcerned about any other of our qualities or lack of them. All He wants from us is an honest, straightforward, simple, submissive, and loyal heart. When He finds such a heart, He takes possession of it, controls all its responses, and so uses it that it finds in everything, no matter what, something which is invaluable in its progress to holiness. There are, it is true, elements which might pierce a soul and destroy it. But a soul charged with goodwill can and does defy such eruptions. And if such a soul finds itself on the edge of a precipice, God will snatch it to safety. And were it to fall, He would seize it and save it. For after all, such faults are mere human frailty and are hardly noticed. Besides, God's love can allow the soul to benefit from them, and by subtle and almost imperceptible promptings, it persuades the soul to say and do the right thing according to the circumstances in which it finds itself. These promptings are flashes of light from the divine intelligence, a light which illumines every step taken by the soul and so prevents them from going astray as they so easily might because of their simplicity. Suppose these souls make arrangements which could harm them. Well, it does not matter. Providence will see to it that they come out of it unscathed. Time and time again, people plot against them. But Providence comes to their aid, slashes through all the snares, and deals with the plotters so that they fall into the traps they have so carefully devised. Under the direction of God, these souls seem to do foolish things, but it isn't so. For these things end up setting them free from all the troubles their enemies had planned for them. What splendor there is in this exchange of good will between God and man. What good sense there is in a genuine simplicity. What virtue in its innocent freedom. What secrets in its uprightness. Look at the young lad Tobias. He is hardly more than a child, yet the great archangel Raphael is at his side, and with Such a guide, he fears nothing, and he has all he needs. Even the very monsters who attack him provide him with food and help for his illness. The one who rushes to attack him makes a good meal for him. He concerns himself with nothing but parties and wedding feasts, for all that is the decree of Providence. There are plenty of other affairs needing his attention, but God has decided that he must attend to these festivities. Never have things gone so well for him. All is blessed and prosperous. Yet his mother weeps bitterly, believing that she will never see him again. But his father's faith never falters, and the son comes safely home and shares their joy. For those who abandon themselves to it, God's love contains every good thing. And if you long for it with all your heart and soul, it will be yours. All God asks for is love. And if you search for this kingdom where God alone rules, you can be quite sure you will find it. For if your heart is completely devoted to God, your heart itself is the treasure, this very kingdom which you desire so ardently. The moment we long for God and to obey his will, we enjoy him and all his gifts, and the fullness of our enjoyment exactly matches the extent of our desire for him. To love God is to want to love him in all sincerity, and it is because we love him that we want to serve him as instruments through which he both acts through us and in us. The activity of God is not related to any shrewdness shown by a simple and holy soul, but to its loving desires. Nor is God concerned about the plans of the soul, its ideas, and the projects it has in mind, for it can easily be wrong about them all, but its uprightness and good intentions can never lead it astray. Once God sees these good intentions, he ignores everything else and regards as having been done what would most certainly be done if the soul's good will were inspired by sounder reasons. So good will need fear nothing. Should it fall, it stumbles under the protection of that almighty hand which never fails to guide and support it wherever it goes astray. This is the hand which directs it towards its goal if it turns aside, and sets it again on the right path if it leads it. It helps the soul when it falls into error because of its false judgment, and makes it realize how it should mistrust its natural instincts and abandon itself absolutely to the infallible guidance of God. All the mistakes to which even the best souls are liable cannot harm the self-abandoned, and never does it find itself caught off its guard, for everything is turned to its good.